Parenting is tough. At least that's what I've been told. I don't have much experience in parenting. But there's something curious about having four children, and that is that whenever people see you walking through the shops, you know, shops, maybe down at Chernside or Eastland or whatever, when people see you trailing with your gaggle of geese, people often feel compelled. They are compelled to tell you something about that. And yes, we endure the jokes and jibes about not having a television and knowing where babies come from. But by far the most common comment people make to us is, I don't know how you do it. Or, one was more than enough for me. I can't imagine how difficult it must be. I have no idea how you do it. Do you ever sleep? Those sorts of things we hear all the time. Now, what's sitting underneath these comments is the fact that people understand that it is difficult to parent. There is something about parenting that's just kind of incredibly hard. But the Bible has help for us. There's wisdom here for us on how we are to rear our children. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about disciplining children, raising children. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, this is the third most common topic after wealth and words. So there is a lot that Scripture wants to teach us about these sorts of things. And so we've got a bit of work in front of us to do, and I recognize that this is a sensitive topic for a whole bunch of reasons. And that's because the world is just complicated. Not every family functions like a standard sort of family. Sometimes we have single parents that have to carry the weight of both mum and dad. Sometimes the skills mix within a parenting group is different to what would be, I guess, quote-unquote, stereotypical. And I want to make sure that we are clear about what we are saying and what we aren't saying. Now, to do that then, I'm going to give you the five principles of godly discipline. All right. Now, I'm not a big fan of these viral kind of types of structures, seven steps to better parenting or four ways the Bible says you should parent. But the way Proverbs is structured, I think actually gives us these five different principles that we can grapple with as we think about what parenting is normally like. And so these are principles, and they need to be applied with wisdom. So this won't be applicable always in every circumstance, but what we're talking about here is generally how does God's word talk about discipline. So the first thing I want to talk about, principle number one, is that discipline is an act of love. Discipline is an act of love. So Proverbs 13:24. The one who will not use the rod hates his son. But the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines a son in whom he delights. Discipline is an act of love. Now, we do need to acknowledge that there, you know, great harm has been done to people under the guise of discipline. And to start on a sobering note, there are indeed parents throughout the ages who are under the guise of discipline have abused their children. That is true. There are times when passages like these have been taken as license by people to be so physical in punishing their children that they've ended up abusing them. And so in response to these sorts of things, our world has rightly reacted and said, this is too far. We cannot treat children like that. But as is often the case, when we correct something as a society, we actually overcorrect that thing. And so there's this idea out there that to be a good parent means that you should only love your child, and that's true, that's true. But to love your child, they go on to say, means that you need to protect them from everything that feels bad. And that's simply incorrect. That you should strive to be a friend of your child, and that's not the way God has intended it. You see, the Bible gives us a balanced view here, and it tells us actually that discipline is love. To love your child means to discipline your child. The one who disciplines his son or daughter loves them and so disciplines them diligently. And in fact, the greatest example we have of this is that God himself is a father who loves his children, and because he loves his children, he disciplines them. And notice, how does he do it? As a son in whom he delights. Now understand this. We need to think carefully about what the Bible says. We need to understand two particular things. What is meant by the rod, and what is meant by the word discipline? Because there is great danger when we think of the rod only as it pertains to corporal punishment, right? A stick to smack the sheep with. Now, it is true that in the days during which this was written, the rod was used as a kind of remedial punishment, a smack on the back. So, in fact, if you read Proverbs 26 verse 3, it says this: a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of a fool. So there is this idea in the days that Proverbs was written that a rod was there for the back of a fool as a remedial punishment to correct a foolish behavior. But the word for rod here is also the same word that is used in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, blah, blah, blah. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. This kind of rod is a branch plucked from a tree, probably, and fashioned into a kind of staff. It is used to guide the sheep. It is used to push them in the right direction. It is used to poke them if they're going the wrong way. Sometimes it's a nudge. It's not always to be used as a switch for the back of a fool. It is far more often used to guide or correct or nudge in the right direction. To apply the rod does not necessarily mean to enact this kind of remedial corporal punishment. When we consider that the word rod means all of these sorts of things, we have to grapple with the fact that then the rod of correction, that this kind of discipline, might mean quite a bit more than what perhaps traditionally has been considered what it means to discipline someone. Now, when you look at the word discipline, so rod is a staff that guides, pushes, sometimes corrects, but generally it's a stick that has a whole bunch of uses. We need to think now, what does the word discipline mean? Because the idea that discipline isn't just punishment becomes far more pronounced when you look at how this word is used. Now, in fact, the Hebrew word for discipline here is much more holistic than we normally think of the word discipline. The Hebrew word is musar, which means a whole bunch of different things. It occurs 52 times throughout the Hebrew scriptures in its root form. And of those 52 times, it is translated, or it's got the sense of punishment or chastisement. Yes, it does. Giving someone punishment. It does have this idea of having painful consequences. But it has that sense only 12 of the 52 times. 18 times it has the sense of training someone to be discipled, to be disciplined in and of themselves. Think of a drill sergeant in the army who is training his troops to be disciplined, to respond, to do the right thing even when he's not there. There is this idea of army kind of discipline, self-discipline. Or think of a martial arts master who is teaching his student to be self-disciplined. It has that sense 18 times. The discipline here that a parent then enacts to train a child is to train the child to be competent with regards to the realities of life, to be self-disciplined, to know what the right thing is to do in the vast number of circumstances where the parent isn't actually present in the life of the child. It is to train them to be self-controlled. And the most common form, the most common usage, the most common translation or sense of this word is actually teaching, instruction, warning, that sort of idea. And it has this instructional sense 22 times. So in order of priority, discipline, musar, means to instruct first, to train and disciple and to make, you know, competent second, and then to chastise or punish third. So to lovingly discipline your child means you're going to spend 43% of your time training and teaching them, instructing them. 34% of your time discipling them, training them, and so on, to be self-disciplined and make good choices. And less than a quarter of the time admonishing and punishing. Okay? So the rod of correction is first a rod of instruction. The rod of training, then a rod of training, and then after the child has failed to do all of those sorts of things, only then does it become a rod of remedial punishment. So do you see how discipline is an act of love then first? In fact, the Bible says it requires love. You discipline the one you love. You actually hate your child if you refuse to discipline them. Just really practically, if you don't love your child, you're going to skip over all of the other ways to discipline a child and jump straight into this rod of remedial punishment. You need to love your child for you to have the patience to spend the time, half the time, teaching, instructing your kid. You need to love them to spend the additional a third of the time to train them and to drill them and to make them into these self-controlled people. You need to love your child to discipline them. So discipline is an act of love. It requires love. But not only is it an act of love, disciplining your children, according to Proverbs, is actually also a command. It's compulsory. So that's the second thing we need to look at, the second principle. Discipline is compulsory. Discipline your son while there is hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of his death. A rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. Discipline is not optional for a parent who loves their child. If you love your kids, you will discipline them. Now, Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commands. But here is a clear command for a parent. Discipline your son while there is still hope. Frederick Douglass, he was a prominent anti-slavery movement guy in the 1800s. And he lived in America, obviously. And he's quoted as saying, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." Similarly, St. Ignatius wrote that, you know, give me a child until he's seven and I will give you the man. Both of these capture something of this biblical truth, that discipline, the discipline in the sense that the Bible means it here, with its instruction and correction and training and self-discipline and so on, this kind of discipline is absolutely formative in the life of a child. A child's spiritual formation is largely down to his or her parents in the early years. There is a very narrow window of time where there is still hope, as Proverbs 19:18 puts it. In fact, if we look more broadly throughout Scripture, this idea that parents are have this primary responsibility to set up the child for their life is found throughout the Bible. I think, for example, of Deuteronomy 6, where Moses talks to the people and he says, "These words that I'm giving you today are to be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." All of these things are a kind of discipline. There's this constant worldview framing that parents are to give their children. When you walk, talk about how God is active in the world. When you sit, discuss God's word. Talk about God when you lie down, when you walk up. Train, train, train. Repeat, repeat, repeat. The idea there is the same word actually that is used of an army scenario. Again, this drill sergeant idea. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Train, train, train. Instill, instill, instill. Form your child so that he or she will be well made. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, bring up your children in the training of the Lord. Brothers, how are you doing? How are you doing? Have you taken the lead role in showing your children how to love Jesus? When you do your family time devotions, who is the one who leads that primarily? Absolutely, this is not just the task of fathers, mothers too. But this Ephesian passage speaks specifically to children. If you read from the start of Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents, do what they say, so on. Honor your parents, both mom and dad, listen to them. And then it specifically instructs fathers, you are to instruct your children in the way of the Lord. This is not optional. People say the church is only one generation away from dying out. Apart from God's grace, it only takes one generation of parents, in fact, one generation of fathers, to fail to train up their children while there is still hope. The stakes are incredibly high. How are you doing? This is not an option. It is a biblical mandate. Discipline is an act of love. Discipline is compulsory. Thirdly, then, principle number three. Discipline has a purpose. So from Proverbs 24, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and you will rescue his life from Sheol. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. The rod of discipline will separate it from him. Now let's follow the train of thought for a moment. We said that discipline is an act of love, it requires love, and the Bible teaches us that because it is an act of love, it is compulsory for parents to engage in. You should love your kids, disciplining them in all the wonderful ways that works, you know, instruction, correction, rebuke, and so on. But the question is, to what end? Because discipline actually has a purpose, and the purpose of discipline is life. Perhaps even eternal life. The most loving thing you can do for your child is to discipline them so that you have given them every opportunity to live. Every opportunity to have their life saved from the grave, from Sheol. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him and you will rescue him from Sheol. The purpose of discipline is to save your kid's life. Now, Sheol is a kind of non-specific Hebrew word for the grave, for death. It doesn't necessarily mean like eternal hellfire and damnation. It's bound to the idea of dying. And of course, in the New Testament, we know that the worst kind of death is the eternal death that is separation from God. And we don't want that for our children, right? So as far as it depends on us, we are to discipline our children so that they have every opportunity to respond to the Lord's call. Now you and I know that there is actually nothing we can do to create faith in our children. That is actually between God and the child. If God gives faith, then God gives faith, and He doesn't need us to do that. We can't discipline or disciple our children into heaven. But God does use means to accomplish this task of giving faith. And very often, in fact, I think generally, He uses the means of the family and the parents to surround the child with people who can help them on the journey. I think this is part of the reason we get such detailed instructions, so high a priority about how we are to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. Because if God has elected them and we do that job well, then those children will have no barriers to accepting the call that God has given them on their life. And so we can legitimately say that actually God has used good parenting or good, setting up your life, good discipline as part of the instrument He used to give that child faith. Isn't that an incredible gift as a parent? And even if the child never comes to believe in God and you have disciplined and discipled them well, then you have still saved their life from ruin. You have trained them in giving them a good moral and ethical work, framework within which to live. And that will set them up well for this life as well. Discipline has a purpose, and that is to give the child life. But to do that well, we need to recognize something we don't like to think about all too often. And that is that our children, in fact, all of us really, have foolishness bound up in our hearts. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. But a rod of discipline will separate him from it. Discipline is necessary for all of us because all of us, including our children, are fools in our heart. Foolishness is bound up in who we are. And Proverbs begins with this statement, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so we need discipline because we're foolish. Our hearts are not wise. We need to be trained, corrected, instructed, rebuked, and so on, because we need to be separated from that foolishness that wants to deny God. And one of the key ways God does this is through the loving correction of parents. We need this correction because we are unwise. We need a rod to separate us from our foolishness. And so discipline is an act of love, it is compulsory, and it has the purpose of giving us life by separating us from our foolishness. So then practically, how do we do it? Principle number four, how do we do it? I read here from Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians 3. Fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, don't exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. There is a kind of discipline that leads children to anger, to exasperation. But exactly how that works, I think, probably has to do with the world in which that child is living, the culture that child grows up in. Now, in some ways, I should actually step aside from the pulpit here because what I'm about to say, I don't think I can ground in Scripture. This is just my thoughts, my opinion. This seems wise to me. Test it. See if it's right. Throw out what's not helpful, okay? So just pretend I'm standing here and we're just having a little chat. Because it seems to me, in my opinion, discipling in the way Scripture teaches, I think, is to be tied up with the particular foolish thing the child is doing. Now, again, this is my opinion, but I think this holds, so see what you think. You see, whenever you get to a point where a child needs discipline, I think the first thing you should ask yourself is, what is the foolish thing that is going on in the heart of that child? What is the rod of correction that needs to separate that foolishness from that child? What foolishness is the child to be separated from? That's the question you should ask yourself when you come to a point of discipline being necessary. Because discipline needs to tackle the foolishness, not the child. So the discipline needs to be as close to the particular foolishness they're displaying as you can get. There isn't really much point, I think, in disciplining a child by punishing them in an unrelated way. That's not the rod of correction. That's just the rod of, I don't know, random punishment. I think the rod of random punishment leads to exasperation and anger. So let me give an example of how I see this playing out. Say, for example, your child doesn't respect your household rule that there is to be no TV before school. And you wake up one morning and you find your TV quietly going on and you catch the child red-handed. So now you are faced with the question, how do I discipline this child? How do we do it? Well, we ask the question, what is the foolishness that is bound up in the heart of the child that is coming out right now? And depending on how you answer that question will depend on how you administer discipline. Maybe this is an instruction issue. The rod of correction is a guiding rod, right? It's an instructing rod, and so perhaps the discipline you need to administer is to instruct the child. Maybe they haven't understood the rule. Okay, fair enough. Maybe you should be clearer about that. Is it every day? Is it just before school? What about Sunday morning before church? Is that okay? Maybe the first stage of discipline is just teaching them about what TV does to their brain or whatever. Maybe they need to understand that if you watch TV before school, then it's going to affect your performance in all kinds of ways, and that's not really respecting the way God has made you to be. Maybe they need to understand about dopamine receptors and brain wiring or whatever. You get the point. Maybe the foolishness is a lack of knowledge. Or perhaps it's a self-discipline issue. The child has full well understood what the rule is, but for whatever reason, the trouble they have is with self-control. They just can't help it, they tell you. You ask them what's happening, I just couldn't help it. It was just so tempting. And so what is the rod of correction then? Well, it looks like a self-discipline kind of rod. Now the rod perhaps is getting a little bit firmer. The child loses their TV privileges for maybe a day or two or a week or whatever. Maybe one of the things they have to do is draw up a morning routine chart to stick on the fridge and help them track, you know, where they're at so they won't get distracted by the temptation of the TV. Or maybe the foolishness is simple defiance. The child isn't struggling with self-control. They're fighting you because you don't get to tell them what to do. And so now the rod of loving correction becomes quite different again. You need to check yourself, actually, at this point. Is the child defiant because you've made them exasperated? Have you angered your child by being too strong? Have I put unreasonable pressure or rules on this particular child? Maybe I'm the one who needs to be corrected. Or maybe the child's just being defiant and needs to learn to honor their father and mother again. And so the rod of correction changes depending on the situation. Maybe you change the Wi-Fi password so the TV can't stream anymore, and let's see what happens then. Maybe there's an outright ban on TV for the month, or whatever. You get the point. How you respond has to do with what is the particular foolishness that's going on in the heart of the child. The rod of correction has to correct the right thing. There's no point on going nuclear on a kid who just hasn't understood the rule. So we need, as parents, before God, to craft the rod of correction in the correct and specific way to correct the specific foolishness the child is displaying. That's how we do it. So now let me take back my normal position here, because there's one final thing that I think Scripture does teach us, and that's principle number 5. You know, we've seen that discipline is an act of love. It is compulsory for parents. It has a purpose. We've given some thoughts on how we might do it, but I want to finish with this final principle thought. Discipline should be gospel grounded. When we put our children to bed, we have a little call and response. Does your daddy love you? Yes. Even when you're good? Even when you're bad? Why? Because God's love is like that, only better. And tomorrow? And tomorrow I will serve the Lord. When we discipline our children, that discipline is not just to correct their behavior. It is to mirror the discipline God has for us. What is God's love for us because of Christ? Does our daddy love us? Yes. Even when we're good? Yes. Even when we're bad? Yes. Why? Because that's what God's love is like. On the cross, Jesus took our punishment. And so our discipline, whatever happens to us in this life, is because God loves us. You know, Proverbs 3:11 says, "Don't despise the Lord's instruction, his discipline. Don't loathe his discipline, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights." Because of the cross, God delights in us, his children. That is the heart of the gospel. And because of that, and out of that, tomorrow or today, we can serve the Lord. God's discipline for us comes from his love for us. It is tied to Jesus' work on the cross. We know that whatever's happening to us is not just random punishment or wrath for our sins. No, everything we get from God is because he is disciplining us as a loving father. And so we need to love and discipline our kids. We need to love them when they're good, when they're bad, the same way that God loves us. And when we do that well, as the parents that God has entrusted to disciple our kids, Lord willing, they will wake up in the morning, be wiser than yesterday, and say, "Today I will serve the Lord." That's gospel-hearted discipline. So as we wander through this morass of difficulty, it is my prayer that this has been helpful to you. Let me pray. Lord, we recognize that this is a somewhat of a treacherous place to be speaking into, and yet you clearly have discipline as a great priority in Scripture. You speak about it in Proverbs more than almost any other topic, and that's significant. Lord, we want to do well. We want to give our kids every opportunity to follow you, to understand the world that you have created as it is, and not simply as our world pretends it is. Lord, help us to discipline our children well with instruction, with teaching, with careful correction, admonition. Help us to train them to be self-disciplined, to live out of who you have called them to be. And yes, when we need to correct them, Lord, we pray that we will do that in a way that you do that, loving us whether we're good or whether we're bad. Just the same. So we pray that you will make us parents worthy of the calling that you have given us to raise our children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.